look in the Gospel of Luke with me. Luke chapter 5 with me this evening. Luke chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 18. Luke 5 and verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately, boy, I like that every time I find that. Amen. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. I'm looking there at that last phrase that we read. We have seen strange things today. We have seen strange things today. Now, Luke gives this account. Mark, he puts it a little bit different in his when he gives the account. Mark says, we have never seen it on this fashion. Luke here says, we have seen strange things today. That word strange there is what I'm emphasizing. Strange here in the context, it has to do with that which is not normal, that which would be unusual, that kind of connotation. In other words, they're seeing what took place, and they're looking at it like saying, well, that's out of the ordinary. We've not seen that before. Amen. Okay. Well, my thought is that everything about our Lord and everything about what our Lord does is out of the ordinary. Amen. It is strange. It is unusual. Mark's account, too, just to refer to this quickly, Mark chapter 2, he talks about these four men carrying this palsied man. But he opens up Mark 2 with the fact that it was noised about that Jesus was in the house. And that's what drew that crowd of people to that house. I've been gone, Barbara and I have been gone quite a bit here lately. What I observed is that, there was people hunting seats. I mean, Sunday morning, they were hunting seats all around here. I don't know what the parking was like, but I know they were hunting a place to sit here at Sweet Springs. I believe it's been noised about that Jesus is in the house. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm looking at this here passage with that thought of strange things, extraordinary, unusual, above expectation. Just looking at the context generally here with some opening remarks, there's some strange things here that took place. They're seeing an unlettered man teaching them. and it offended them. You can relate to John's gospel where it says, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" They're looking at Jesus as some ignorant fisherman, not knowing that he's the one that spoke the worlds into existence. And they're thinking, this fisherman's going to teach us that kind of thing. Amen. Unusual things, strange things. They're seeing here, too, a palsied man being let down through the roof. I can guarantee you that didn't happen every day. Amen. The press of people, so many people, that they had to break through the roof of the building and lower this man down. I'd say that's pretty strange, pretty unusual. Amen. They're seeing, too, a man being forgiven of his sins. You know, Israel's sins could be remitted for a year, pardoned for a year, only to bring the same offering which could never take away sins. And they're seeing something strange here. They're seeing a man being forgiven of his sins by another man. And that offended them too, because they said, well, who can forgive sins but God only? Duh. Open your eyes. Amen. That's who he is. Looking at this, they're seeing a man here who could read their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. We read it there. I forgot where it was. Anyway, we did read it, okay? But he read their minds. That should have set him back. He knows what I'm thinking. Amen. But it ought to set us back too, because he knows what we're thinking. Amen. There are no dark places to hide. He knows what we're thinking. Unusual things, strange things. They're seeing a man being made whole, perfectly whole at one time, immediately. Makes me think about some other things back in the Bible that, you know, when they took place, why didn't folks wake up? Why didn't they take note? Why didn't they see what was before them? But here now, a palsied man, he couldn't walk. He had to be carried everywhere he went. And yet he took up his bed and left and walked. Amen. They're seeing strange things, unusual things. But then also, what's significant too, is that these scribes and these Pharisees, the religious leaders, it put fear in their heart, what Jesus did here on this day. It put fear in their heart. And they didn't fear anybody. They were the leaders. They were the ones with all the attention. Amen. So there were a lot of peculiar, strange things that took place. Well, I've got about four thoughts in the message, and I got to hurry. When you think about strange things, okay? The first thought is simply this, and that is, it's already in the text, we have a strange Savior. Amen. Amen. He's out of the ordinary. Amen. There's no one like him. You can search all over the universe, and you'll not find another. Amen. I think about when the Queen of the South went to visit Solomon's kingdom. She'd heard about Solomon's kingdom, and she loaded up her things and went, and Solomon showed her his kingdom. She went away with an attitude, the half's never been told. Well, the half's never been told about who our King is, who our Savior is. We have a strange Savior, an unusual Savior. When you think about it, it was an unusual birth. It even astounded Mary. Mary said, "How can these things be, seeing that I know not a man?" Well, his father was God the Father. Amen. Everything about our Lord was strange. out of the ordinary, unusual. He had unusual speech. He spoke with authority. In John's gospel again, these same scribes and Pharisees, these religious leaders, they said, never man spake like this man. And that's because he spoke with authority. Amen. He unusual in his speech. He was unusual in his conduct. How is that? Well, we read in Luke 15, this man receiveth sinners. That was pretty unusual. Amen. Aren't you glad he receiveth sinners? This man receiveth sinners. You and I, we wouldn't even be thought of. We wouldn't even be recognized. In fact, the Jews, especially those leaders, would have looked at us as a pack of dogs. Amen. But them's the ones Jesus sat with. Amen. This man had unusual conduct. He was unusual in his doctrine. He told them same leaders, bring forth meats worthy of repentance. He preached to them repentance. Amen. Unusual in his doctrine. You know, our Lord wouldn't even fit today because nobody wants doctrine. In the prayer time, I can still hear some of the prayers talking about our pastor being such a man of God that he doesn't back up on the word. That when you come here, you get doctrine. You get verse by verse, you get the word of God. Amen. Well, our Lord was unusual in his doctrine. He had a strange birth. Everything about him was unusual. But then when you think about him too, he died a strange death. He was the innocent one. He was the lamb led to the slaughter. He was the one who died in our stead. You've heard it said, no man walked as our Savior walked. Well, no man died as our Savior died. He bore that cross. Brother Logan emphasizes it, how he counted it all joy, how he looked forward to the cross. Boy, you try to ponder that, that's pretty unusual, how a man could look forward to that death that he died on the cross of Calvary. And I'm not talking about just the physical sufferings, although I don't believe there's another man who could have endured just the physical sufferings that our Lord endured. He died an unusual death, out of the ordinary. They didn't kill him. They couldn't kill him. He dismissed his own spirit. Amen. But you know, when you think about him too, an unusual Savior, you've heard the expression of the best is yet to come. It ain't over yet. Boy, you talk about unusual. They thought he was peculiar the first time as the Lamb of God. But when he comes the next time, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every eye shall behold him. I remember back in the 70s, folks having a problem with that. How's everybody on the world, how are they going to see him? But man's devised means of showing you what's happening on the other side of the world. If man can do it, it's not a problem with God. Every eye shall behold him. He's coming in all his glory. When he comes, that mount's going to split. Amen. You talk about unusual. You talk about strange. You talk about out of the ordinary. When he comes, his word will be law. I'm telling you, it'll be a whole lot different when he comes the next time. Amen. Amen. Well, we have an unusual Savior out of the ordinary. We could go on about how good he is and how he's the best there is. But then also, we have a strange salvation. All the world's religions, they are a works religion. They're always trying to do something to make their, you know, to please their God, to get favor from their God. Boy, our plan of salvation, it's unusual. Because it's already done. The work's already completed. Jesus has paid the price on the cross at Calvary. It's such a simple plan that children can believe it. But yet so profound that learned men stumble over it. We've got this thing within us that we want to justify ourselves. Every man. Every individual. You remember the rich young ruler that came running to Jesus? When he caught up with him, he said, "Good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's inherently in every one of us. We want to justify ourselves. We think we can do something to make ourselves right with God. But you know, it's so unusual, there's nothing we can do. The work's already done. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. It's unusual. Romans 10:13. It's that simple. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But man doesn't want it God's way. You remember Jonah, how that he paid his own fare to get on board ship going to Tarshish. And God created that storm, sent that big storm. And all the things that took place. Well, Jonah told him, he says, "I'm the reason. I'm the problem. What you need to do is you need to throw me overboard." And they said, "That's not a good plan. We'll do it our way." Now, I'm ad libbing, but that's the account. That, boy, they kept rowing. They thought they could get themselves a safe shore. Man hasn't changed. He's still rowing, thinking he can get himself to safe shore. And he's bucking up against a wind that he'll never conquer on his own. Amen. But just as soon as they did what Jonah told them, boy, there was a peace. There was a calm. Can you remember how you bucked up against what God said? You thought you knew better. But then when you trusted what He said and called upon Him, immediately there come a calm. Amen. That's pretty unusual. Religion can't do that for you. But that's what God can do for you. Our salvation was planned by God. When Adam ate of that fruit, it didn't catch God off guard. Before God ever put Adam in the garden, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost already had devised a plan of salvation. That Jesus would come at God's appointed time, that He'd be born of the woman, born of the virgin, that He'd live here a sinless life, not to be an example to you and I, not just to be an example, not just to die a martyr's death. No, he was coming to fulfill the work the Father had sent Him to do. And that work was the work He accomplished on the cross at Calvary. The sin debt's paid in full. Boy, I should have sang that one. Paid in full. Glory to God. It's paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Well, we have a strange Savior. We have a strange salvation. But then also, we have a strange lifestyle. Did you know that folks look at you as strange? You go to church on Wednesday too. They think that's strange. Amen. You're getting excited about VBS. Do you know that Friday night's going to be hot? Some of you are getting this. Others, I think, might be above your head a little bit. That's pretty strange that folks get excited about those kind of things. It's a strange lifestyle. See, the Christian, what the world would call strange, Paul calls it reasonable. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Boy, if Jesus could go all the way up to Calvary and pay our sin debt, it ought to be pretty reasonable for you and I to live for him.
Amen.
Amen. When you think about it, we ought to build our life around the church and around the things of God.
Amen.
Now, that's strange. That's foreign today. Amen. Today, the church has been made a thing of convenience. I've actually talked with pastors who said, well, I can't really plan much because I can't hardly get anybody to come. I got to ask them all, you know, when would be the best date? And then usually when they set that date, they find something else to do anyway. But I'm talking about a Christian who wants to be in God's house.
Amen. That's right.
David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go in the house of the Lord. We have a strange lifestyle. We get to go to church. That's a reasonable thing. Amen. It was mentioned about other parts of the world. The brother was here Sunday night. They would love to have the liberties we have in Egypt. Different other parts. I forgot the one that's going into the Congo. He would love to have what we have here over there. Amen. We've really got it pretty easy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What's so demanding about coming to Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and occasionally there's the missions conference and maybe an extra meeting once a year, and then the VBS. I mean, that's a whole lot, isn't it? Well, to some folks it is. But to those who understand what the Lord's done and who he is, it's reasonable.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Really, it's not too extraordinary. It's really, that ought to be more of the norm. Amen. We get to go to church. Well, let me get to this last point. Spend a little more time. And that is that we're involved in a strange service. What do you mean by that? Well, it's pictured in these four men. These four men sacrificed of themselves to get one sinner man to the Lord. Amen. This was not an easy task. When you read the account, though, let me ask you this. Can anybody name the four men? They're not mentioned by name. We don't know who they are still yet to this day. Won't know till we get up there. They may introduce themselves. But I'm talking about they labored without recognition. Mark 2 again. There was a multitude of people to where they couldn't come in through the door. But when you look at that, how much of that multitude passed by that same man as he laid there on his couch, on his bed? Out of that multitude, four men, they may not have known one another. It could have been, here comes one, and his heart goes out to this man, but he can't get him there on his own, so he enlists a second, and they can't do it, so they get a third, and then a fourth. And those four men had to coordinate together to get this man to Jesus. They did it without recognition. I go into some churches. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I've already started. I go into some churches and everybody's recognized. Everything's got a plaque on it. Everybody's heading up something. Everybody's acknowledged for something. You go in some, every pew has a plaque on it. Every door has a plaque on it. Every wall is lined with plaques. If they have a cross, it's lined with plaques. It's like that old McDonald. Here a plaque, there a plaque. Everywhere a plaque, plaque. Plaques everywhere. It's like this. See here? That I bought this pew. See, my name's on this one. That wasn't those four men. Amen? Something else is, amongst these four men, there were no chiefs. They were all Indians. Amen? You know, the average work today, I'm boasting on Sweet Springs, okay? But the average work today, they'd have to form a committee first. And then they'd have to meet to appoint a leader in the committee. And then everybody would have to bring their plan, and they would work it all out and decide which plan was best. And eventually they might get something involved where they'd be able to pick that man up. But by the time they got it all done, Jesus would have, he didn't let the house. Now I'm trying to use a little humor. But that's the sad shape of things today. These men sacrificed everything to get one, just one sinner man to Jesus. And then something else about it is, and I already mentioned it, they had to coordinate together. They had to do it together. They had to lift him together. They had to raise him to the roof together. They had to lower him together. I don't know how they did it, okay? I can only assume that they'd used ropes and things. I don't know. What Scripture doesn't say. But lowering those ropes, if one of them lowered his too fast, they'd have lost that palsied man. Amen? It took a lot of coordination, all for just one sinner man to get him to Jesus. My point is, I think of Sweet Springs in that sense, that there's folks working behind the scenes. When you think about this whole thing, everything about it's pretty peculiar, pretty out of the ordinary. But then what makes it even more out of the ordinary is that somebody went to all that trouble just for you and I. Can you remember where you were? And those who coordinated together. And those that sacrificed just that you and I might come to know the Lord. And then when you think about that strange salvation, if we'd have been the only ones, that's pretty strange. He'd have did it just for you or just for me. If we'd have been the only ones. Truly, they had seen strange things that day. But you and I are living in an age here at Sweet Springs. We're seeing strange things. What a great God.